Okay, good evening, gentlemen. We continue in the Rambam Hilchos Tainis, Perek Aleph, Halacha Yud Aleph, Chapter 1, Law 11, in the Mosnayim text, it's page 24 and 25. Last time we began the halachas of fast days, and the last halacha dealt with the fact if a person fasted, but he didn't accept an individual fast now, and if a person did not accept it in advance, it's not considered a fast. And we explained that you have to verbally express that you want to make it a fast. And again, these are private, not public ones. Yeah, public ones, they're fast days with or without your agreement. But a private one, you have to be able to make it. So, and then it talked about even if you make up in your mind to fast 3-4 days in a row, you only have to have kavanah the first day, and it goes for all the days afterwards. So along those lines, Hayyuch Yidal clarifies one more halacha of that same type. Kibul alev alav mi ba'od yom lis'anas l'mochor bilvad, if he accepted upon himself for the next day only to fast one day the next day, bilvad alone. V'isan, and he fasted. But then when he finished fasting, he saw he was on a roll. So Balayla, now at the night array, the next night, when normally one would break one's fast, Nimlach, he changed his mind. Bisanis Biyom Sheni, he wants to now fast the second day. He's feeling good. He's going to keep pushing ahead. Right? For day number two. Now, Afal Pi Shalon Bateniso, even though he goes to sleep fasting, Einatanis, day two will not be a fast day. There's a room in my room if you want. Why? Because he didn't accept day number two from the afternoon before. In other words, let's say on Sunday afternoon, he said, I'm going to fast the whole day Monday. So he fasts the whole day Monday. And then Monday night, he says, I'm really in a good mood. I'm fasting. I'm going to fast on Tuesday. He fasts Tuesday. It won't help because Monday afternoon, he had to accept Tuesday's fast. Now, as opposed to the halacha and halacha yud, where he initially was going to fast a number of days, then the first machshava, the first thought to fast many days will be fine. But here, he only intended originally to fast one day. So once you want to add day number two, you have to have a new intention that has to be the afternoon before for it to be considered a fast day. And then the Rambam adds, and all the more so, and this even though he did fast the subsequent night, going into the next day. So if that's already not considered a fast, so the Rambam concludes, Vein Sarach Lomer goes without saying, that if, after the first fast, if he was eating and drinking that night, then gets up in the morning, and then he decides to fast in the morning, certainly She'ein Zotan is Klal, that's not a fast at all. Because, He fasted, but without accepting the fast upon himself. And we'll see in a moment, this will have a status of a fast of ours. So we have two rounds, we have to get both. There's two of them. And the other one's the skinny one, is the fast. Because it's skinny, it's for fast days. So that's how you remember which one it is. Okay, so that's halacha yud aleph. Now, halacha yud bet is very interesting halacha. Haraya chaloy mara. If a person sees a bad dream, so what's the halacha? Tzorech lis'anos l'mochor. The person should fast the next day. Okay? First, I'm going to just read the Rambam straight. Then we'll give you the practical of this nowadays. So he sees a bad dream. It's something you should fast for, and that will bring some kind of repair and atonement. Again, usually if you see a bad dream, theoretically, it's possible that it's telling you something bad is going to happen down the line. So you want to, want to fast and do tshuva to avoid any bad things that could happen. And that's what he's saying. You should fast the next day, k'dei sheyashuv v'yeyor. So he should return to Hashem and arouse himself to do tshuva. Okay? V'yeyor b'masov, and arouse himself in his actions, v'yachapes b'om, and investigate them, v'yachsu b'tshuva, and do tshuva. U'mis'ana, and he fasts, okay? Afilu b'Shabbos, even on Shabbos. Why would he fast on Shabbos? Because the bad dream is so disturbing. How's he going to enjoy the Shabbos? How can you enjoy Shabbos if you had a dream that could foretell bad things for you? You're going to be worried about that the whole day. But fasting is something that corrects it. So that becomes his own next Shabbos. That becomes the pleasure of the Shabbos for him. And for him, it makes the Shabbos a good Shabbos.
Do we hold like that?
We'll see. And as such an individual fast, umispala nenu, yedavan anenu prayer, behold fill every davening, even though you didn't accept it from the day before. Interesting. See, here's an example. Fasting on a dream is a fast that, what are you missing that other private fasts would require? You have to accept it the day before. But how can you accept it the day before? You don't know what you're going to be dreaming that night. So he still says, you say anenu. Right? You can still say anenu, because for you it is a fast day. Now, b'misana b'Shabbos, but if you do fast on Shabbos, even though you are benefiting and you feel good that you're fasting on Shabbos, you have also, so to speak, desecrated the sanctity of the Shabbos by not eating. So there's a negative that has to be corrected. So misana yomach, you have to fast another day to make up for the fasting on Shabbos. M'tei shebitel oinik Shabbos has nullified taking delight into the Shabbos. Now, so nowadays, number one, bring down, that we don't fast a fast for a dream on Shabbos. Why? Because we're not experts in the explanations of the dreams to know which are bad and which are good. And the general consensus is, as it's found in this early Sfarim, that for three dreams, a person still could still fast on Shabbos. If a person sees in his dream a Sefer Torah being burned up, or he sees himself being in the time frame of Yom Kippur at Ne'ilah in his dream, or if you find the walls of your house or your teeth falling out. Okay? And so that's, you know, those are supposed to be dreams with, as we say, a lot more teeth to it. So it's a much stronger kind of dream. So, and there's other dreams that the Gemara in Brachas talks about as well. Now, you see, the bring down the Gemara Brachas, how important it is to fast on the Shabbos. It says like this, that if a person fasts on Shabbos, will cause even a death decree against him to be ripped up. So that's how important it could be to fast. Now, the Shulchan Aruch says, again, we don't fast, because we're not so clear on the interpretations. And b'chlal, you know, this goes beyond. So really, okay, if you really wanted to fast on a weekday, you could fast. Generally speaking, we don't fast anymore for dreams for many reasons. And you'll see in general, we don't fast a lot because we're not so strong as people used to be. And you usually lose more than what you gain on a fast day. I mean, the ones that are decreed by the rabbis, we cannot rescind. But you notice, I mean, even in yeshivas, wherever there's a fast day, it's much less learning Torah. Tomorrow, we're not going to learn Gemara tomorrow night. But that's just the way it is. I mean, I would learn, but I wouldn't have much of a crowd. I'm okay. I'll tell you guys to come 45 minutes earlier than the half hour earlier, and we're going to be learning the Rambam. You guys are tired, you know, and we can't blame people. It's a weak generation. So fasting in general, most people don't maximize the opportunity of that day by doing tshuva and all these things. So what happens? You wind up being less qualitatively involved in your Yiddishkeit on a fast day than otherwise. And the whole point is you're trying to do tshuva. So therefore, generally speaking, it's very rare that you'll find someone fasting because of a bad dream that they've had. What we generally do is we go to three people and they tell you that the dream should be good, it should be interpreted for the good, and we leave it at that. So, therefore, generally this halach is not that applicable. Maybe some mystics would be more applicable for it, but for us simple Jews, it's not. Okay, Yud Gimel. Now there is a concept called fasting for hours. Fasting for hours. And that's what he explains in halacha Yud Gimel. Misana, and we will see there is some practical application of this. Misana adam shos, a person can fast 4 hours. For who? And this means, shelo yochal klum shar yom. Now there's going to be two interpretations here. The first one is the simple one. The person makes up that he's not going to eat for the rest of the day. So you're wondering what's going on over here. Now remember, the full-fledged, we're talking about private fast, the full-fledged private fast is the day before you accept upon yourself at Mincha or whatever in the afternoon, I'm going to fast the next day. And that's a full-day fast.
And you start at sunrise.
And you start at sunrise, and that's a full-day fast. Now we have a new type of fast, which is called a fast of hours. And what is the fast of hours? Ketzad, how is this? Let's say, Sharei hoya torud b'chafotzov umisatz eik bidrochov, bitzrochov. The guy was very busy the whole day, from the get-go. He woke up late, he rushed to shul, forgot his lunch, you know, davin, rushed off to work, he's busy, and the next thing he knows it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. He says, I haven't eaten anything. I'm not particularly hungry. So, v'lo achol ad chatzos, and he didn't eat until midday, oh, at teisha shos, or until 9 hours into the day. So, now he didn't accept upon his fast, but that's just the way things turned out. V'nimlach, and then he decides, lisanas b'shoshin shar miyom, I might as well fast the rest of the day. I've already got 3/4 of the day or half the day done. And you know, let's say in the winter time, right? You're not coming home anyway until after work, until after the sun's down. And you forgot your lunch and it was a busy day at the office. You see it's already 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock. What's left to the fast? Another 2-3 hours and I've got a fast to my credit.
But so, is there a reason for this fast? Is there a particular reason?
Not any. Well, you want to be a little spiritual. You know, he didn't start off thinking to be spiritual. But you already see you're at the point of the day where you could finish off the day fasting. So you say, okay, you know, for the next 2-3 hours, I'll fast. You know, there used to be good Jews not so long ago in Europe who fasted every Monday and Thursday their whole lives. You know, there were ladies. I think one of my, I remember my mother, my father, I forget what I said, that there was that an aunt, she fasted every Monday and Thursday. She did it at night, but, fasted every Monday and Thursday. It was just a common practice. There were Jews who did that. So there is some element of, you know, removing oneself from the base physicalness of this world. And fasting is something that can help if you're that kind of a person, you have a good, constitution. So the guy figures, I've already gone through most of the day, let me get at least, it's not going to be considered a full fast, but it'll be a fast of hours. And that's a limited basis of tshuva. So what you can do is, hareza misana olsen shos. So you're right. He can fast for the rest of those hours that are left in the day. And then, let's say you go to daven mincha, umispalbo anenu, and you can even say anenu. Why? Because it's like a junior fast. It's a miniature fast. Why? Let's say anenu for mincha. Because he accepted by himself the fast before the hours of the fast. In other words, there's an idea of fasting, accepting a fast before a full fast. That you gotta do the night before, the afternoon before. And that's accepting yourself a fast of hours that you can do right before the hours start. And that's a junior, partial kind of a fast day for you. Now this next line of the Rambam is a source of great debate. What if the guy ate during the day? But then he decides, I might as well fast the rest of the day. I had a good breakfast, a good lunch. So I might as well now fast the next 4 hours. This is also considered a fast day, 4 hours. Now, where do we get this source from? It's from the Jerusalem Talmud. There's a story with, they tell us the story of Rabbi Yonah said a person can fast hours. And it tells a story of Yonah was in a particular place, and he heard that a great tzaddik passed away. Now this Rabbi Yonah, even though he had had cheese and water early in the day, but now, boom, he hears that a great tzaddik dies. When a great tzaddik dies, a person has to make a cheshbon on nefesh, you have to worry, it's a concern, and he says, I'm gonna fast the rest of the day. And that's gonna be considered at least some kind of fast. And that's already eight. But he still felt there's a value to fasting the rest of the day under certain circumstances. He said, how can I eat the rest of the day? A great tzaddik just died. So that was the Jerusalem Talmud. And the Rambam is, we assume, basing his words on that Jerusalem Talmud. But the Ravid and all the other early rabbis, they argue on this. And, because the Talmud Bavli says explicitly in Maseches Tainis, that all these fasts for hours, it says it's if you didn't eat anything until nightfall. Which seems to be arguing the Jerusalem Talmud. The Babylon Talmud says, yes, there's an idea of fasting hours, and that's provided you didn't eat until nightfall. The Jerusalem Talmud says he ate in the morning, and then he heard someone die, and then he decided to fast. So some defend the Rambam and say, no, not necessarily. It's an argument between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi. It could mean when the Gemara says, if he doesn't eat until evening, it means when he decided to fast. It doesn't mean he didn't eat the whole day. So there's a way to answer the Rambam. Anyway, there's a whole discussion over there. Then the Rajba brings down, in one of his responses, that he heard that the Rambam retracted from this law, and he said that if you don't fast, if it's not a fast the whole day, it's not considered a fast. So anyway, there's a lot of debate on that. But there is a concept of, if you want to really be spiritual, for sure, everyone would agree, that if you don't eat the whole day, and you're going to make it go out for the rest of the day, that you certainly would be considered a minor type of fast going till the end of the day. Now, let me just tell you the practical application of this halacha is, because we don't generally do that. I mean, if you did, and you felt pious, you could do it. But the general application is, and again, since people find it difficult to fast, so, you know, we don't generally have these full day fasts. So when do we have hourly fasts? We have like this, people make a fast, a chatzitainus, meaning to say, the fast from the morning until midday. And that already is something that we do. And then by the mincha service, we say aneinu, but not in the chazaras hashatz. And that you'll find in Eretz Yisrael often. Yeah, right.
We do Rosh Hashanah.
We do that. We do that Erev Rosh Hashanah. We have that kind of a fast day. So that already, you know, if things aren't going well in Eretz Yisrael, they'll say you should make a half a day fast. And that already, since we know we're going to do this, you know, we declare it as a fast, and you can accept it upon yourself the day before. Then want to fast a half a day, and that's kind of a nice compromise of all these ideas, because it's hard for us to fast full days, and this whole thing of fasting the second half of the day. Who's going to really inspire themselves for that? So we have the rabbis say, you know what, let's just fast a half a day, and that'll be a fast of hours, which is still a worthwhile type of fast. Yeah.
With regards to this person who decides to take on the rest of the day as a fast, if he had already fasted till 3 o'clock in the afternoon, do you have to verbally take on or mentally take on a declaration that this will be an atonement for something?
Well,
or if you just say, I haven't eaten till 3 and I'm not going to eat till 7.
Yeah, but you have to have some purpose to it. I mean,
so you kind of have to have in mind that it's going to be for some kind of holy purpose, not just saying, you know, I can wait a few more hours.
You know, let's look at the next halacha, and you'll see what the whole nature. He comes back. Remember, we had this earlier in the parable. The Rambam talks about the idea of sufferings come and troubles come. You should reflect and fast. So you'll see now again in Yud Dalet, he's going to tell you what should be your mindset. So I think that'll answer your question. So it says, Kol Ashori Vatainus, anyone who now is in a state of fasting. Regardless if he's fasting for a distressing situation for himself, or al chaloma, or for a dream he had, or whether you're fasting with the congregation for a group distressful situation, he should not give himself, should not indulge in other types of pleasures. He shouldn't be lightheaded. He shouldn't be happy and with joy of heart. And which is, let's say tomorrow, we have a fast day tomorrow, right? He says, okay, I have a fast day, so I'll go to the ball game. You know, it'll make the time pass quickly, and I'll have a good time going to the ball game. That's not what you're supposed to do. You know, you're not supposed to, you know, listen to happy music, and, you know, besides the fact it's the 3 weeks. You know, it's not a happy day. And that should not be the focus. Don't, you know, it's not the day to take a bubble bath, not the day to go into the hot tub. It's not that kind of a day. Ela doyeg, but rather he should have concern for oinein and mourn. Kinyish nemer, as the pasuk says in Eicha, ma yisoneim odom chai gevra chatov. What should a person complain? A living person, a man, over his sins. Again, the idea being that, you know, you have to, because of your averis, that's what you're mourning for. So therefore, that's what the focus. So obviously, again, what we're talking about here, you're going half a day. Can't just say, oh, well, I went most of the day, I'll be a tzaddik and I won't fast the rest of the day. I mean, why? You have to say, oh, I'm doing this for a reason. I should be more introspection, be less physical, more spiritual, whatever. So it would obviously be much better to verbalize what you're doing. Now, even though you are fasting, What if you are cooking for others and you need to taste the food? So the halacha is, umutul lalito mesatam shel. You're allowed to taste a dish that you are preparing to eat after the fast day. Vafilu bichtei revis. Even if it has the size of a revis, which would be a size you're not allowed to eat, but here's the important condition, vahu, and that's under what circumstance? Shel yivla, you're not swallowing it, ela toe mupolet, you're tasting it and spitting it out. And therefore, you can even bring in a revis. And why? What's the chiddush? Because what if you forget and swallow? Then you'll be having an amount that would like break your fast. So maybe we'd say don't put it in your mouth. But no, if he's only tasting it, that's fine. Now, what if shachach v'acha? What if he forgot when he was tasting it and he did eat it, and now you've kind of broken the fast and he had, let's say, exayus? The locha still is mashlim taino, so you finish the fast. You finish everything that was going on over there. And others have the girsa, you finish your prayers and your tainus, meaning you say anenu. Now again, and that's halacha on any of these fast days. If you taste, it's still a fast for everybody else. Right? And you were fasting until this point in time, and you should still finish the fast. This idea of, you know, I ate by mistake, I should eat the rest of the day. No, you're still fasting. It's just a fast day that you messed up a little bit
on. Does it reduce the value?
Certainly it does, but you can't just say, well, since I broke the fast, I can now eat the whole day. You made a mistake. It's still a fast day. It's a fast day where you ate by mistake. It's not 100% good fast. We're not going to make you fast another day for it, because we're not good fasters. But certainly it is of value, even to the point where you could even say anenu under that situation.
So, Rabbi, if we go back, if you fasted all day and never made a declaration,
it's nothing.
That's nothing.
It's nothing.
Okay, so that's why several hours before, if you don't realize by then to make a declaration for the continuance of that day, then it's really nothing.
I mean, theoretically, if you didn't declare it before, at least if you remember sometime in the afternoon, say, I'm accepting the rest as a fast of hours.
Yeah.
This is all private ones now. We're not talking about public ones. We're talking about private ones now. All right, let's continue. Tesvav. Yochid shohoye misana l'choyla v'nisrape. An individual who is fasting for another sick person and that person gets well. You see how it's just so simple to Rambam. It's not just your problems. If other people have problems, other people fasted for him. You know, it's like a double portion to the Rambam. It's not just when you have a problem with somebody else. So let's say you're fasting, all of a sudden, great news. The person's better in the middle of the day. Oh, maybe I don't need to fast anymore. Or let's say Al-Tzara, let's say he's fasting for a calamity that's happened forever and it's past and everything's fine. Hareze mashlim tanoso, you have to finish the fast day. That's Gemara and Tainus again. And even if the person was healed or the suffering went away before midday, because you've accepted upon yourself this fast day. So if you don't finish it, it makes it like you're playing games with God. You're saying, if it doesn't get better, then I will fast. If he does get better, I won't fast. Like, are you playing games with Hashem? You accept upon yourself a fast. Remember, it's a private fast. You accept upon yourself a fast, so you gotta fast what you promised to accept. There's no such thing as backing out on that. Now what if you're a visitor? How about aholech mimokum shemisanim lochem shemisanim? Let's say in this city they were fasting, and you're traveling out of town to a city that's not fasting. So you go, oh, now I'm in the other town, I don't have to fast anymore. No, hareze misana, you have to fast umashim tanoso, and you have to finish the fast. Why? Rashi explains, because all fasts that a city accepts upon himself, they put the stringencies on everyone who happens to be in the city, even if they're going to leave the city. What if the reverse? What if he went from a place that's not fasting and now he's traveled into a city that everybody in the city is fasting? He has to fast with them as well. Because now he's in that city, they're all fasting. He can't do different than everybody else. So I guess, you know, if they would have had like modern communication networks long ago, they'd be telling you on your Palm Pilot, know which cities to avoid, because these are the ones that are fasting and you don't want to go to those cities. Right? Now what if shachav achav ashah, so what if he forgot and he ate and he drank? That's a very, I don't really understand this Rambam. It's a very difficult one to understand what it's talking about over here. You forgot to fast. So he ate and he drank. So now Al Yisrael, he shouldn't show it before them that he's eating. And he shouldn't indulge in pleasures for himself. So I don't understand. You're not supposed to anyway. And if you broke your fast, who says you should? Who says you should? You know, continue to be breaking your fast. So it's a very difficult halacha to understand. He shouldn't let himself be seen, nor should he indulge in pleasures. I mean,
he's hiding from himself.
You know, while others are in distress. But what do you mean? Why isn't he fasting the rest of the time?
Because he just traveled to there.
So. Yeah,
he came from non-fasting to a place that's fasting.
I know, but he still has to fast.
Maybe. But he didn't.
So he forgot, but he still should fast the rest of the day. We don't have this business. I said, once you ate, you still have to fast. I don't understand.
Maybe it's
similar. So the commentators at least bring out a halacha that comes out of this, although it's not exactly that halacha, and that's anyone who's not obliged to fast. Okay, so let's say a pregnant lady, a nursing lady tomorrow, or somebody who's sick. So those people, even though they're eating, they shouldn't have lots of pleasure in the eating. They shouldn't be eating, shouldn't flaunt it, shouldn't be eating fancy foods and things like that. So that halacha does relate. In other words, people who don't have to fast anymore, don't go and eat a lasagna that tastes so great, and you go, that's an amazing meal. And children eating candies and all, it's a sad day, whatever, a serious day, and don't flaunt your pleasures.
Yeah, there seems to be two clauses. Don't let people see, and don't have more food than you need.
Yes, 2 points, yeah.
That's similar maybe to someone coming from Eretz Yisrael who doesn't celebrate the second day of Yom Tov.
Yeah, but what, how does that fit into fasting, though?
No, but he does discreet malach.
I understand, but tell me, why would the guy not continue to be fasting? That's what I'm not understanding. Why the guy, even if he's eating, he should still continue to fast. That I don't understand. All right, let's do one more. Tezayin. Tzibur shoyim misanim al gshamim. Let's say a congregation is fasting because there's no rain. And guess what happens? Yard alem gshamim, it starts to rain. So now, im koyim chatzos yardu, if the rain came before midday, lo yashimu, they don't have to finish. Ela ochlim v'shosim, they can now eat and drink. Done. In Wisconsin, they gather together for Kerin Halal Gadol. They read the Halal HaGadol. That's the Halal that we say Pesach night. That's the long one. Hodu Lashem Kitov. Let's do the 26th stanza when we say Shabbos morning. Because that's great praises. And of course, you have to eat first. You're praising Hashem because He brought the rain. You have to eat first. Why? Shein Omrim Halal Gadol El Benefesh Sveva Kores. Well, you can't say Halal Gadol unless you've had a full meal. Because one of the lines you say is No Sein Lechem L'Chol Basor Kilum Chasa. Hashem gives food to everybody, so you can't say that Halal Gadol unless you've eaten. Very interesting. Even though an individual who's been fasting and for someone who's sick has to finish the fast, the congregation not. Why? Because the answer is because for a congregation we're much more lenient. An individual will be stricter. A congregation, there's lots of weak people in a congregation, so we don't make a congregation suffer so much if this calamity has passed. But that's all if the calamity passed before midday. But v'imacher chatzos, but if the calamity passed after midday. So ha'ol v'yavar rov ha'yoyim b'ktusha, since most of the day went by in holiness and in fasting, yashlimu tanisom, they should finish their fast. V'cheinim ha'yum yis'anim al tzorah, or what if they're fasting for a calamity? V'avra, and it passed. Al gzera, or a certain decree that was made by the evil governments, u'bakla, was nullified. Same rule. In korom chatzos, if it's before chatzos, it was nullified. Well, yashim, they don't have to finish the fast. V'imacher chatzos, yashim, if it's after chatzos, then they will fast.
Go ahead.
Welcome back, Paul.
Thank you. Didn't want that done.